This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Talking to my Lord, I used to say, please give me a wife who changed my life. Now I found my best friend, my
The moment you enter into the fold of Islam, or the moment you make a shift from being disobedient to Allah and His commands, and make that U-turn to start correcting your behaviors and follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's teaching and His messenger. The moment you do that shift, immediately you begin a journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Jannah. The ultimate reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for His righteous slaves. Jannah, which is prepared for al-muttaqeen, the righteous ones, the pious people, those who have God consciousness in them, those who are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overwatching them, whether they are in secret or in public. Taqwa, which when they asked Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda, what is taqwa? Explain to us taqwa. He said four things. I wish and I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can retain these four qualities of taqwa that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda had spoken about. He said taqwa is, number one, al-khawfu min al-jaleel. To fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted, the most high. To develop that fear of sinning against Him because you know that He is watching you. So whether you are alone in secret or out there in public, you know that Allah is overwatching you, and as a result you will fear committing any sin which is displeasing to Him. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel wal-amalu bit-tanzeel. Number two is to implement the teaching of the Qur'an. The Qur'an was not meant, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to entertain you. The Qur'an was not meant to be heard by a beautiful reciter. All these things are secondary matters when it comes to Qur'an. To listen to it, to calm you down, to listen to a beautiful reciter, all these are good qualities. Alhamdulillah. However, the most important thing when it comes to the Qur'an is implementation. Is reflection, is pondering. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this book full of blessings, the Qur'an, we have revealed to you, O Muhammad. Why? So that they may ponder over its ayat, so that they may reflect over the verses therein and implement them to the best of their ability. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to implement the Qur'an. Wal-amalu bit-tanzeel, wal-rida bil-qaleel, and to be happy, contented, satisfied of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you. Whatever Allah had given you, be happy with it. Don't ever look at those who are more fortunate than you and envy them and develop hatred towards them because Allah had given you less. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, if He knew ahead of time that wealth will benefit you in any way, shape or form, He would have given it to you. But He knew that this is what you need. The difference is, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at what we want, but we are neglecting what we need. Allah is giving you what you need. He doesn't always necessarily give you what you want. So be happy. Satisfy that with your condition, whether it is good or may appear as bad, because whatever Allah had given you is good. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and in secret. Implement the Qur'an. Whenever you hear something, learn something, immediately put it into action. And be happy, be satisfied and content with what Allah had given you. And the last and most important element of taqwa is what? وَالِاسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ. And be ready to depart this dunya and meet your Creator. Be happy that when the time comes, when the angel of death comes to you, you are ready. How many of us, they fear death? They are not happy. When the subject is mentioned, they are terrified. Yes, death is a musibah. Death is not easy to handle. Yes, but the companions back then, because the level of iman was up high, they were ready for death. Bilal ibn Rabah, before he died, he said, غَدًا نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَصَحْبَةِ. Tomorrow we are going to meet our beloved Muhammad and his companions. They were happy to die. So always be ready for that moment, my brothers and sisters in Islam. So the moment you accept Islam, or the moment you start obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a believer enters into a journey towards Jannah through worship. The ultimate purpose of our existence. Why Allah had created us in this dunya is to worship Him. And in order for you to achieve that ultimate purpose, you have to enter through a difficult journey. And these journeys have been summarized by our mashayikh and ulama into categories and stages and stations that each believer has to go through. And I will, inshallah, in the remaining time, I will try to be very concise and brief so that you can get all the seven of them, inshallah ta'ala, and hopefully you can make some, you know, mental notes so that you can apply them, inshallah ta'ala. The first stage of a believer's journey towards Jannah, the first step required from you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to improve your iman and to increase your iman is, number one, the station of knowledge. The station of knowledge. You will never be able to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowing Him. How would you ever worship Allah lovingly from your heart without knowing who Allah is? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran told us what? فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know for certain that there is no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know Him. Develop that habit of learning, understanding, asking, inquiring from the people that Allah had bestowed upon them knowledge. Ask them. Learn about Allah. The more you learn, they say, the more you earn. The more you know, the more you grow. The more you know who Allah is, the more you love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, salah for you wouldn't be a burden. Because you know you're going to meet your beloved. Our generations today who have developed this sickness of boyfriends and girlfriends amongst our people, they would be very excited to go on a meeting with their girlfriends or boyfriends. They will be standing in front of the mirror to get ready to meet their beloved. But when it comes to salah, it's like a burden, like a mountain over their shoulder. Why? Because they don't know who Allah is. They don't know. And this is not an optional thing in Islam, my brothers and sisters. Acquiring knowledge is not something optional. It's not something kept only for the scholars and the ulama. No. It is obligatory according to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيدَةً. Acquiring knowledge is an obligatory upon every mu'min, upon every believer, males and females. Therefore, men, do not prevent your wives from going to the masjid, from going to Islamic centers to acquire knowledge. Don't keep them home and say that this is not the place for you. It's an obligatory on them to learn their deen. It's an obligatory because if they don't know the deen, they will not be able to behave as wives in your home. And then you will start complaining about them. Knowledge is the most important step. The more you know, and by the way, even kufr require knowledge. Even disbelief comes after recognition. Allah told us this in the Quran, that the Jews knew, they knew very surely that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in the books. They knew it, yet they disbelieved. The people during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the idolaters, those who used to worship idols, they knew for sure that Allah is absolutely one. Yet they denied it. or the associated partners with him. After a believer acquired knowledge, he entered into another station, another step in his life, another phase in that journey, and that is the phase of repentance. The station of repentance. The station where you start remembering your past, your ugly history, where you used to do that which is unpleasant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a sincere believer at that stage, he starts asking Allah to forgive him. He starts doing two things, repentance and istighfar. Repentance means that you will never do that sin again in the future. And istighfar means is to seek constant forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you have done in the past. It is as if Allah wanted us to be in a constant state of repentance and forgiveness, asking Him for forgiveness. This stage purifies a believer. It prepares him for the next stage, which is the difficult part now. Already you have knowledge, alhamdulillah, you pass that station, keep on learning. Don't say I learned enough. Keep on learning. Until you die. From the cradle to the grave. Keep on learning. Don't say that's it. Alhamdulillah, I'm big enough. I have social media now. I can, you know, share information, mislead people, tell them what is halal and what is haram, classify who's kafir and who's this and who's that. Don't go into this, my brothers and sisters. Keep on learning. And once you learn, repent and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the next station of a believer is a very difficult one. The station of obstacles now. The station of difficulties coming along the way. And basically there are four obstacles that a believer would face in life. Four of them. Number one is the dunya. This world. Our love for this dunya becomes more greater than the love of the akhirah. We love this dunya more than loving Jannah. We are living in a state, in a situation today, where we are the exact opposite of the companions of the best of all generations. We are so attached to this dunya as if it is Jannah. Although we may live in this dunya for how many years? 60, 70, 80 years. And after that we die and we face our Lord. But Jannah is everlasting, my brothers and sisters. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا They will be living in it forever. Yet we still don't have that love for Jannah more than this dunya. So this is the first obstacle. We start getting attached to this dunya, to our devices, to our homes. We plan for 60 years to come in this dunya, and we never prepare our children for the akhirah. Yaqub alayhi salam, before he dies, Allah told us the story in the Quran, that when death approached him, he called all his children. For what? To divide the inheritance? To tell them how much they should take? He told them, what will you worship after me? That was his concern. Because this is what would last. This is what would benefit us in the grave, in the hereafter. Worshipping Allah. The purpose of our life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the jinn or humankind except to worship me. Allahu Akbar. Ibadah. That's the main purpose. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what? وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا Do not forget also the portion being provided for you in this dunya. So don't come to the masjid 24/7 and do nothing else. No. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work and provide for your family. But the point is, this dunya should not be placed in your heart. It should be here. You are in control of whatever has been given to you. Yet, this dunya is out of your heart. And if that happens, we will learn to give without feeling poverty. Without thinking that we are so poor, we cannot give charity. Our ulama taught us, our scholars taught us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves three categories. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ ثَلَاثًا وَحُبُّهُ لِثَلَاثٍ أَشَدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves three categories of people, and His love for some within the same category is more higher, is more bigger. One of these categories, what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُحِبُّ الْأَسْخِيَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved the generous people, those who give for the sake of Allah. وَحُبُّهُ لِلْفَقِيرِ الْغَنِيِّ أَشَدٍ. And His love for the poor, generous person is much more stronger. Because he had nothing to give yet, he's keen to give. He's always worried. Whenever a guest would pass by, he would invite him to eat something or to take something. Generosity. If we have developed this in our heart, my brothers and sisters, we wouldn't have love for this dunya. So this is one of the obstacles. The second obstacle is the people of the dunya. Those people who invite you to that which is haram. Today in our society, we may not follow the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because our culture said so. We would be forcing our daughters to marry against their own will because this is a culture thing. Because this is how we were brought up. The people are inviting us to do that which is haram and we are okay with it. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So you wouldn't be able to fulfill your purpose of this life because the people tells you so. And the third obstacle is yourself. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Yourself is always pushing you to do that which is haram. And by the way, this is the most powerful of all the obstacles. It is even more stronger, more powerful than shaitan himself. And this is the fourth obstacle, shaitan. So yourself is more stronger. Shaitan would make a speech on the day of judgment saying that, I didn't do anything, I only invited you and you followed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to shaitan, you will not have control over my righteous slaves. Shaitan himself will not be able to control you. And we have an example, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu arda. Shaitan himself would avoid him. Allahu Akbar. But yourself could destroy you. If you follow your own desires, your own whims, your own liking, the religion today, some people today, they view religion according to their own opinions, according to their own liking. I think, I guess, I believe. This is not the religion. The religion is according to the Kitab and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. According to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Whether you like it or not, it's not up to you. It's not up to you. That's submission. Surrendering your own will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you pass these obstacles, my brothers and sisters, you enter into another phase of difficulty. Hindrances. Things that will stop you from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear. Fear of sustenance. Fear of calamities. And fear of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. You start feeling that if you don't work hard, you will not be able to provide to your family. So you keep on working, 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 and you forget your salah. You keep on working, working, and you forget your charity. You keep on working and you forget to fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of sustenance. The fear of wants. I want, I want, I want. Then the fear of calamities. The fear of that maybe something bad is going to happen. Knowing the first one, the fear of sustenance, Allah already told us in the Quran, وَرِزْقُكُمْ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. Your provision already been written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever that you have been promised, it's with Allah. So why should we fear sustenance? Why should we fear provision, my brothers and sisters in Islam? I'm not saying don't work. Work. But don't let your work an obstacle in the path of your main purpose of life, worship, ibadah. The same thing, calamities. We are told as believers that we will be tested. وَلِنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used a very powerful word that we're going to test you badly with loss of wealth, loss of souls. People will die in your midst. Loss of provision. Sometimes we don't have income, we don't have money, we don't have work. Allah is putting you to test. But at the end, He gave us this good, beautiful news. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ Give good news to those who are patient. Those who wait a little bit longer. Those who endure the difficulty. Give them good news. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ Those people will have blessings, prayers from Allah upon them, and mercy. And they will be the successful ones. And then the worst obstacle is the fear of qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you start doubting Allah's qadr upon you. You start hating the condition you are in. May Allah save us all and save all the Muslims. Ameen everywhere. This is the phase of hindrances, things that will stop you from progressing. وَلَعْيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And once you pass that stage, you enter into another stage. See, the believer's journey is all full of struggle and full of toil. Don't think that this dunya is a happy place. Yes, we can make it a happy place by our contentment and satisfaction of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us. But the complete, the ultimate peaceful place is Jannah. Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. He once said that we will never taste complete peace and happiness in this dunya. We will only taste that when we put our foot in Jannah. Once you put your foot in Jannah, inshallah, there you will experience peace. There will be no fight, no arguments, no sickness, no diseases, no issues, no problems. But in this dunya, we have to achieve happiness in the middle of difficulties. So here comes another phase for a believer, and that is the phase of struggle. Struggle against what? Against desires. Struggle against misunderstanding of the deen. Struggle against doubts. And the solution to this is two things, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Hope and fear. Hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will not mislead this ummah, and fear of His punishment upon us. Because the situation that we are living in is so difficult to bear. Seeing our brothers and sisters in Islam around the world being butchered, being wiped out of the face of the earth, and we are here doing nothing, makes a believer doubting. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be patient. Be patient. إِنَّمَا النَّصْرُ صَبْرُ سَاعَةٌ Victory will come maybe in an hour. Just be patient. And don't forget them in your dua and supplications. Do whatever you can to support those oppressed people in the land. But don't ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, develop that balance between hope and fear. Maybe because of what we've been doing for years, that's the punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده اللهم يا مسبب الأسباب ويا مفتح الأبواب ويا دليل الحائرين توكلت عليك يا رب العالمين وأفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم أما بعد My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, as we are discussing the journey of a believer towards Jannah, towards the ultimate happiness and ultimate abad for us, that's the wish for all Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Al-Firdaus Al-A'la with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned that there are many stages that a believer pass by. The stage of knowledge, because based on knowledge comes iman and worship. And once you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start realizing your mistakes, so you start repenting to Allah. Stage number two. Number three, obstacles comes along the way. Don't think the way, the path to Jannah is easy. Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Jannah is surrounded by difficulties. Don't think the path to Jannah is easy. Just because your name is Muhammad, Mustafa, Aisha, Khadija, Jannah is guaranteed. No. It is surrounded by difficulties and we have to go through them. Comes the obstacles, the dunya, the people, yourself and shaitan prevents you sometimes. All these things prevent you from worshipping Allah and from reaching that goal. Then comes hindrances, things that also will come along your way to stop you from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear of sustenance, fear of calamities, fear of the qadr of Allah. And for you to cure yourself from this disease or to pass this station, you have to develop full trust in Allah, tawakkul ala Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was thrown in hellfire, he did not give up his faith. He said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me. And He is going to take care of my affairs. Hasbunallah. Extreme trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Extreme trust in His qadr and wisdom. And once you pass this, you enter into the stage of struggle against your desires, against your doubts. And we said that this would be solved by having hope and fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the last two stages. One of them is the most difficult, the most dangerous stage for a believer. If you pass all these stations safely, you enter into the most dangerous one. The one which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it, that I fear, this is the one that I fear for my ummah the most. The station of riya, showing off. Once you are learned, once you repented, you pass the trials, you pass the difficulties along the way, you think of yourself very high. You start showing off your worship rather than making it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The stage of riya. Be careful, my brothers and sisters. Always purify your intentions before and after the deed. Ask yourself, why did you come to Masjid Ibn Abbas today? If the answer was to see somebody or to meet someone and that's it and take photo and do this and do that, then inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If you came for the sake of Allah, purely for the sake of Allah, then congratulations, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your deed from you. Always ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing now? Why am I engaging in a da'wah center? Why am I giving a khutbah? Why am I doing this? Why am I praying in front of my parents in the house? Why am I beautifying my voice in public, but when I'm in secret, I have no voice whatsoever? Showing off is the deadly action that you can do that would doom you and send you straight to hellfire, wal-ayadu billah, if you don't repent. The ulama said that it's like an ant, black ant, creeping on a black stone in a moonless night. Sometimes we cannot even realize that we are showing off. So the cure of this disease is to make a supplication to Allah continuously. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an a'lamu. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from committing any shirk. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called riya ash-shirkul asghar. It is a minor shirk. To associate partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because once you do the action for the sake of the people, you have associated them with Allah. Because worship is due only to the King of all kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be careful, my brothers. This is the most dangerous station. You have to continuously renew your intention and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your actions purely for His sake. Sincerity is the key. Sincerity cannot be viewed by people. It is only observed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you pass that station safely, you reach to the last stage. And that is the stage or the station of gratefulness. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who kept you steadfast upon the path all these years. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are still praying Fajr on time while other people within your family members are asleep. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are still attached to the masjids while other people within the ummah do not pray at all. Not to look down upon the sinners, rather say, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us to this. And had He not guided us, if Allah chose not to guide you, you would have never been guided. Always praise Allah, say Alhamdulillah for whatever good deed you're doing. It's not because you are smart, it's not because you're more righteous or pious than others, it's because Allah guided you to that action. So say Alhamdulillah. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, Alhamdulillah tamla'il mizan. Just saying Alhamdulillah with full understanding of the word fills the scale of your good deeds. If you just say Alhamdulillah. If Allah had given you some sickness, some pain, and you said Alhamdulillah for that pain, because it could have been worse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill your scale of good deeds with righteous actions. If you said Alhamdulillah, I have very little money, but I still can eat my meal, my daily meal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill the scale of your good deeds. Just saying Alhamdulillah, enough. تَمْلَأِ الْمِزَانِ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the right understanding of the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring back the days of izzah and might of this religion, where a Muslim brother will never label his other brothers as kafir and a disbeliever and a person of bid'ah. Where a sister will not look down upon another sister because she's not wearing niqab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring back that time of love, compassion, that the companions have enjoyed and the tabi'een during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive back those days in our time. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma
talking to my Lord, I used to say, please give me a wife who changed my life. Now I found my best friend, my all. She makes me a better man.